Today's readings are all about change. Not just change, but transition. Moves into a new way of recognizing, a new way of understanding, a new way of acting. Saul is dramatically changed, blinded, renamed, re-inspired, redirected. To John is revealed the glories of heaven, and in the gospel, the disciples are saved, fed, and undergo a kind of graduation as they begin their individual journeys of evangelism. We too are just emerging, however hesitantly, from quarantine and from the solemn season of Lent as we experienced again the suffering, death, and return of Jesus and prepare ourselves to share and represent the good news. The book of Acts, a continuation of Luke's gospel, includes many episodes and conversations and teachings that don't appear elsewhere in the Bible. Today we are especially enriched by the telling of the episode of St. Paul's experience on the road to Damascus, where he was preparing to arrest and bind up any followers of Jesus and take them to Jerusalem for what we can only presume would be execution. His better-known name of Paul is not used here initially, for he has to undergo the dramatic blindness and conversion before he becomes a believer in the holiness and power of Jesus. After Saul has recovered and understands the powers of the followers of Jesus and the powers of belief, he will also be given a new name. So dangerous was the man Saul that the followers of Jesus in Damascus are afraid of him, even while he is blind. But God spoke to the Christian Ananias and told him to restore Saul's sight. Then we learn that this new Saul is converted, baptized, renamed, and begins to proclaim that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. Today's psalm could well be the song that Paul sings in rejoicing about his new understanding and belief and the restoration of his sight. It's a song we all might want to sing, for these are the words of conversion, words of salvation. I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up. You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave. Then you hid your face, and I was filled with fear. You have turned my wailing into dancing. Therefore, my heart sings to you without ceasing. Today's epistle is from the book of Revelation, which is often considered something of an outlier. The literal reading of this text, if it can be ever approached entirely literally, makes it almost what in theater is called a dream sequence. The Ghost in Hamlet, Visitation of Christmas Past in Dickens, the ballet in Oklahoma, they're all vital pieces of a story, but each moving in a different dimension. Here the revelation is the friend of the fisherman, the teacher of the crowds, the companion on the road to Emmaus, is in fact the Lord. And the gospel story from John is a wonderful combination of the mundane and the mystical. The fishermen go fishing, the teacher waits for them on shore, the invitation to share a simple meal, all are elements of reality, of everyday life, of working and eating together. The workers are Peter and Thomas, Nathaniel, and two others. A casual roll call within a miracle story. The men get into Peter's boat, went out to the Sea of Tiberias to fish. They were unsuccessful, caught nothing. At dawn, Jesus stood on the shore, unrecognized, and called out to them, "You have no fish, have you?" "No." "Cast on the other side of the boat." Then they pulled in so many fish that the boat nearly sank. John called out, "The stranger on the shore is the Lord." Peter was so excited that he jumped into the water and swam ashore. Apparently, Peter fished naked, for he didn't jump into the shore until he put his clothes on. I suspect that this information has caused hours of speculation about New Testament fishing customs in seminaries around the world. Then, after all this detailed information and rather mundane storyline, we come suddenly face to face with the man on the shore. It is Jesus, with a fire ready to cook some fish and then serve the men fish and bread. Nobody asked his identity. It was obvious to them who he was. The gospel writer reminds us then that this is the third appearance of the risen Lord. After they had been fed, Jesus addressed Peter and asked him three times, "Do you love me?" Three times Peter affirms his love for Jesus. And each time Jesus commands Peter, "Feed my sheep." Jesus no longer teaches. That ministry seems to be completed. He asks the basic question and Peter answers three times, "Yes, yes, yes." This detailed gospel passage contains an array of simple acts that become powerful images and metaphors. Peter's preparation to meet Jesus, properly dressed, the feeding of the disciples by Jesus, cooking the fish they brought to the gathering, the series of questions to Peter that come to stand for a certain guide to ministry. Take care of people and love God. And a closing passage, an explicit human reality passage that seems strangely detached for the context. Jesus tells them they have a period of time to do what they want. They can go wherever they wish. But as they age, somebody else will make their decisions. I believe Jesus is telling them to get on with it, to get on with their work. They will not be in charge of their own lives after a short time. And we know that for most this was true. While we have time, Jesus tells us, do good. Feed my sheep. Then he implies that they must follow him into love, into service, into worship, into death. Each lesson today tells us 21st century Christians that the story of the good news is not over. We are still in the time of transition. Jesus had taught and led and supported spiritually and physically all who would hear. Now his physical ministry among his followers is over. Now they must take over. We are among those who are changed with this holy enterprise. Paul has been transformed. As we sing in Amazing Grace, I once was blind, but now I see. He's now to move on to his role as messenger of salvation. The dependent disciples on the shore are charged with work. I have fed you, now you feed my sheep. And in Revelation, the words of salvation are turned to praise for all creation and for the Creator. Jesus says to each of us, it will not be easy, but follow me, feed my sheep. This is the place where I should say amen. But I want to share something else. In 1997, when I was a deputy to General Convention, Joe and I attended the meeting that year in Philadelphia. Each day's work began with Bible study. For deputies, alternates, clergy, guests, we gathered at small tables of 8 or 10, read and discussed a Bible passage together. One day, today's gospel was the text. Ernest remembers, he was there. At that time, St. Luke's had a ministry of handing out bags of canned goods each Tuesday morning. The ministry had been started by Audrey Schlegel, wife of the then rector. When I retired from teaching in 1993 and Stu Schlegel had retired, I took up that modest ministry, handing out bags of canned goods. I distributed whatever we had from parish donations, some weeks better than others, obviously. When Joe and I returned to Los Gatos from Philadelphia, she told me, and then she told Father Brewer, that we could do more. We could actually feed the sheep. And thus the pantry program became a meal program, and a great deal more, with a roster of volunteers that had included dozens of people over the years. Joe asked for assistance from other local churches, and they responded. The First Methodist, which still hosts the shower ministry, the Latter-day Saints, who invited us to use supplies from their big warehouses, St. Mary's Church, who still sends a monthly check to St. Luke's for the pantry program. The two local Rotary clubs are generous supporters. The annual Rotary crab feed results in a substantial contribution. Our pantry program has also become a favorite of school students wanting to do service projects, serving, preparing bags, collecting clothing. And the help people receive goes far beyond food, bus passes, rent help, loans, use of the parish address for mail, gifts at Christmas. Local service clubs still ask Joe to visit their meetings for pantry updates. And though housed here, the pantry budget is entirely separate from parish funds. Joe took it upon herself to feed the sheep in our town. That was 25 years ago. Her present small crew hasn't missed a week, even during COVID. And now I can say, amen.